Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, I was thinking about, Steve, you know, in the beginning when God had called me out into the next level of the next season of ministry, and I began my first pastorate, you know, being a pastor of a church and a traditional pastor at a traditional church and as a founder of actually founding work. And, you know, my spiritual papa, you know, Ken Summerall, it encouraged me to follow the Lord. And I remember he told me very specifically was, well, what God spoke to me about, you know, if you love me, feed my people.
Right.
Three times he told me that's plain as day. And then he showed me even a vision about that I can walk. His word is so solid that I could walk on his word. Mm-hmm. I mean, he showed me this whole vision. It was pretty powerful. But then, you know, I'm entering into ministry, and it's all pretty much what we call tradition today. But yet I had this passion in my heart, you know, for where we are today and what's going on. And I remember, you know, counseling situations and sessions where, you know, you're discovering, and this may be you today, and you're in ministry and you're having these kind of situations where you're talking to somebody on the phone and you're trying to help them out. Maybe you're doing a one-on-one, maybe you're not a pastor or something, but you're helping somebody. Somebody's, you know, we're all called to serve the Lord. And you're talking to somebody and they agree with what you're saying about God. They tell you their issues, they tell you their problems and, you know, what's going on. And with compassion, you know, you share with them the truth and love. You share with them what God is saying about the matter. And of course, your expected response would be, "Thank you so much." You know, yeah, thank you for bringing that to my attention. You know, and it just kind of shines God's light on it. And at that point, the Holy Spirit would convict them, and then they would say, "You know, God, forgive me for that," and they would turn back to God, repentance, and then their life would be much better. I mean, that just seems so perfect, right?
Right.
Well, it doesn't happen that way all the time, right. You know? And, of course, I had to go through the learning processes of the fact that, you know, we didn't just get here by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many people, there's so many people that they want to talk about Jesus. They want to theorize about Jesus. They will talk to you until the blood flows out of your body and you enter in the casket, but they're not planning on following Jesus. Or doing anything about this Jesus, you know, right. Following and doing. And so, you know, and you can really want it for someone, but you can't, it's up to them whether they want to follow God or not.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, that's what Jesus did, you know, and he gave a mandate. So here I am, I'm talking on the phone years ago. And it's just one of those stressful things where this particular person's life's like falling apart. It's just falling apart. And these different things are happening. And so I'm able to encourage the person and tell them, you know, what God's word says about it. And the statement that you often hear, and if you're listening, you've done this, you know, it's like, yes, I understand, but, you know, mm-hmm. And but is a big word with one T, and it's a conjunction that connects everything that you just said to what they're about to say, and it nullifies what you just said for what they're about to tell you. So if somebody says yes, but
mm-hmm.
You know, you did really wonderful job today, but you know. And there could be an improper use of that as well. You know, people could use it wrong. But understand that when you're talking about what God plainly says about something and somebody says, yes, I know, but, I mean, there is nothing on the other side of the but other mm-hmm. than, but I'm not going to follow God.
Right.
And I'm still at that time, you know, as I said earlier, you know, as Major Kirksey told me, I'm like naive. And the fact is like, come on, you say you love Jesus, aren't you going to follow him? You know, it's plain. Look, it's written right here on page 26 on the bottom left-hand corner. Look,
right.
It's Jesus, right? And I remember the energy level so high because I'm so shocked at the reality of how many people profess to be a Christian, and they talk about Jesus, But when it comes time to simple matters of following him and how he says things need to be done, what part of don't you understand? I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But they're not going to say I'm not going to do it. They'll say, yes, I agree, but, you know. So I remember I was pacing in my backyard. Liz talking to somebody at that time on the telephone, and I had to keep my energy levels down to stay calm. You know what I mean? You know, you're a Marine, right?
Right.
And I'm just talking to the person, and then they would say, yes, but. And I remember I would put my hand over the mic piece of the phone, and it had this plastic trash can, this big plastic trash can in the backyard. And I would kick it to burn the energy, and the kick, and it would go all the way across the yard, almost halfway across. And then I come back and say, I'm back now. Now, what were you saying? Yes, but, you know, and it's just like the insanity of not following Jesus as carriers of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Jesus told us plain as day. I sat there and over and over and over again over the years, and many ministers have done it, and that's why ministers are leaving, because they're trying to convince the people to follow a Jesus that they profess to know, but they're not going to follow. Mm-hmm. His ways until they go through something and make Jesus the Lord of their life. And so with that, you know, it's like, when are we going to get off this insanity cycle? You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. So look in the Word of God. What did Jesus say about it? And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, you tell them, mm-hmm. and you wait for their response. You tell them in love. You encourage them. But they have their own authority. Everybody, you have your own authority, and you will be answer alone before God. So nobody, there's no witnesses or suspects, as I always say. It's you alone. Mm-hmm. And then whatever decision that person makes, then just honor that decision. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you can invest some more into it. Maybe they misunderstood. You know, you can, you know, but once they've made a decision, and very few people just go, no, they just say, but.
All right. They'll make it sound nice.
Yeah. It's very religious. And Jesus said, once this happens, this is Jesus. He says to dust the dust off your feet.
Move on. Right.
And the thing about it, we say, you know, my goodness, you know, I really love this person, or I really want this person, you know, to follow God. It's like Jesus doesn't. He was nailed to a cross for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, is our love bigger than Jesus's? Did they reject us? Are we going to trump the gospel? Are we going to add to it? Are we going to change our message so we can win them to us instead mm-hmm. of to win them to God? They just said no to Jesus.
Right.
I mean, you want to deliver the message, right? I mean, you know, quite often it can be delivered wrong. And so you got to make sure, you know, that you delivered it right, with the right heart and in prayer. But once they've made their decision, he says, don't change your message, change your audience.
Right.
To move on to the next town. Dust the dust off the top of your feet. And somebody says, well, if I do that, we can't pay for this big building.
Wow.
It's like, are you serious? Are you serious? You're not going to do what Jesus said. You're not going to do what Jesus said because you actually purchased a huge building. Really? Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on, please. We need to. You're going to begin to enjoy ministry again when you, and I'm talking to all of us, when you talk to people who actually want to know what Jesus is saying. There mm-hmm. is a people, believe it or not, and it's so beautiful to find people who didn't know God, who meet him, who hear him, who love him, who eat and taste to see that he is good, who wants to know more about him and wants to tell people about it. It's just the most beautiful thing. But if you're hanging out with a whole bunch of religious, philosophers that have figured things out and has explained why they're not going to dust the dust off their feet and why they're going to hang out with those who don't want to hang out with God and want to follow him, you know, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. But when you follow Jesus, and this is the sad thing you find out. We found this out, you know, it's just shocking. It's shocking to find out that how many people profess to follow a Jesus that they will not follow. They profess to have Jesus the Lord of their life, but they won't follow him. And it's for us to honor their decision. And they could come around. They could turn back. You can't force people, nor do you want to convince them that they are following him when they're not.
They follow him with their mouth, but they deny him with their lifestyle.
That's exactly it. Follow him with their mouth, but deny them with their lifestyle. And And quite often it could be because of the environment. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. Paul said, I warned you day and night, the whole time I was with you, the whole time I was with you with tears, I warned you that wolves would come in amongst you, even from your own number, to devour you. And today, the way it's being done today, that you have a core people in the midst of this group gathering of the church that love God and, you know, and are following God, and surrounding them are wolves who are not following God, who are held captive by the adversary to do his will, who very well might be feeding on the sheep, you know, which is the body of Christ. And where he warned them, today's mindset is they invite wolves in, you know, and we have responsibility as shepherds, you know, to protect God's people, to protect them. We need to find out, you know, people can't really join a church that you find out actually whether they are a believer or not. And you find that they are part of the church, and then you rightly relate to them, you know, to love them is to love Christ. And so, you know, with that, understanding it, that, you know, it's so cool. It's easier to run with 100 than to drag one that didn't want to go.
Very true.
You think about it, to run with 100 than to drag one that doesn't want to go. And you'll find out that the one who didn't want to go, that they will actually be used by the adversary to be like a 5,000-pound weight in your ministry, in your workplace, in your discipleship, whatever you're doing for the Lord. And they don't necessarily know it, but they are just saying, let's talk some more. Let's talk some more. Why? I mean, it's pretty simple. Make Jesus the Lord of your life.
We're not in agreement.
Yeah, we're not in agreement. How can two walk together unless they agree?
Right.
Well, you love on them because you hope that some chance that they'll make a decision to come back. But even in Nazareth, you know, and we're going to talk about, you know, we all have our Nazareth.
Right.
And Jesus had his Nazareth where people were familiar with him. You know, they thought they knew everything about Jesus, but they didn't understand he was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nazarenes, they lost out. And he didn't sit there and stay with his friends and family and all that and say, you know, please believe in me. Oh my goodness, don't you see what's happening? You know, he left Nazareth,
right,
and he did not change his message. He changed his audience. We got to quit changing the message. The message is simple. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. The salvation is free, but it costs you everything. Who said that you're not going to go through trials in this life? You're going to go through times of suffering. You know, Jesus is not promising you a Maserati. He's not promising you. He's promising you the fact that you're going to go through trials. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of horse you have or what kind of car you have. It's so irrelevant. The fact is what kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith? And faith is something that comes through trials and trusting God, and it builds, and it comes by the hearing of the word. And I want to encourage you, you know, instead of pacing the for, I think about Harold Eberly, you know, his first church he was pastoring, and he would have counseling sessions, you know, with the same kind of situation where the person, you know, wouldn't listen to the simple instructions. I mean, he's pretty just like, this is what it says and this is what's going, you know, and we have a session of him, as a matter of fact, in VFNU. It's pretty cool. But when the couple or the man or the woman or whoever he's talking to would leave, he had a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's gone. There's nobody at his church or whatever, you know, his church in his office. And he would take this bat and just beat the couch. He would beat it. He's like, what's wrong? They won't listen. And it's just having to just face the reality is,
wow.
Why are you trying to convince somebody to do what they told you they don't want to do? Let people live with their decisions. If we do that, they'll eat the fruit of their decision. They may turn back. He says, Paul says, turn this person over. In other words, let them go.
Right.
And just their very own decisions may bring them to a place of repentance. But if you keep wrapping them in religion, if you keep telling them they're okay, keep feeding them sheep and keep telling them, well, maybe God doesn't mean that anymore, then they'll never know that they're not following God,
right,
until the judgment day. And so if that's you, if you spent your time talking to people and now that everybody's gone, you're by yourself and you're doing like Harold Eberly and you're like, why don't they listen? And you're beating on the couch, or you're kicking a huge plastic trash can around, right, while you have them on hold just to come back and say, you know, I got to love these folks. The reality is, honor people's decision. This is what Jesus said. He said, when I send you into a place, I'm going to send you ahead of me. In Luke chapter 10, and he says, what I'm going to do, I want you to go and I want you to preach the kingdom. I want you to find a place of peace, a man of peace, a place, a house, and stay with that man of peace, that person of peace. I want you to stay there. And I want you, that's going to be kind of your epicenter for what I'm going to be doing through you there. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to go and minister in that town, and I want you to eat this particular place. And it sounds like, oh, there you go. It's happening right there. Found a place of peace, person of peace. And that's where a new church plant is going to be taking place. This is Jesus talking, by the way. Yeah, he didn't say go look for some shopping center somewhere. You go look for a place, a person of peace. And then and preach the gospel. And if they say no, the gospel, the kingdom, don't go preach salvation. You preach the king and his kingdom,
right.
You know what I'm saying? His way of doing things and making him the Lord of your life. And in that is salvation. And so if they say no, this is what Jesus said. This is what he said. And so you can do this. You can be okay with it. He said, if they reject the message of the kingdom, he said, preach the kingdom of God is near.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you preach the kingdom of God is near to them, it's because the kingdom of God is in you. So since you are near them and the kingdom of God is in you as a believer, guess what's near them? The kingdom of God is near.
Right.
It's at hand. It's right there. Right? And so the advancement of the kingdom of God would be, I want to make King Jesus the Lord of my life. And what happens at that point, they invite the kingdom into their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, they become part of the temple of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, that God's spirit dwells inside of you? You just advance in a neighborhood, in a coffee shop, in a shopping center, on a street somewhere. You just expanded the kingdom of God. That's how it expands. It doesn't expand by building a new wing on. It doesn't expand by getting new hymnals. It doesn't expand by getting a new PowerPoint or a new, hairdo or new, and these things, whatever. They're whatever. But it expands when somebody finds Jesus, if they take him as the Lord of their life. And so at that point, you just fulfilled the Great Commission, And then, of course, he says, those that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Think about it. And then make them disciples. Teach them to obey all of my teachings. And so it's a simple thing, right? Love God, love others, lead others to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple thing for us to do, and it's enjoyable. Do we go through hard times? Do you go through? Yes, you do. But the thing about it, at least you're not talking to somebody who's refusing to not follow God. You know what I'm saying? And he's trying to stay in relationship with somebody who doesn't want to be in a relationship with God. Set yourself free.
Right.
Follow Jesus, Amen. Let them know, by you honoring their decision to say, okay, and you move on. And staying connected and related in the sense of that, they know you love them and you care about them, but let them live out the fruit of their decision,
Amen.
Let them live out the fruit of their decision. But then there's other people that are going to say no. They're going to say no. They might not say, hey, they may say, I'm a Mormon who denies the Trinity. They deny the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They may say, I'm a Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
They may say I'm Muslim, or they may just say, "Hey, that religion stuff, I don't want anything to do with your." Or they may say, "Not right now." Whatever how they say it, they just say no.
Right.
And once you get to that point where you're realizing, okay, so let me dust the dust off the top of my shoes and just move on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go back and knock on that door again. Don't go have another cup of coffee with them. Don't go sing a song with them. Don't go do all this kind of stuff and change the message to see if you can win them over. Change your audience. Yes, I know it is so sad, but listen, it's more sad to Jesus Christ who died for them than it is for you. Realize they're rejecting. He says, listen, if they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're not even rejecting me, Jesus said. They're rejecting the one who sent me. Mm-hmm. Their denial is not of you. And you can't convince them to accept the God they just rejected. They have to make a decision on their own, on free will, whether they're going to follow God or not.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
Because there's somebody that's crying out, looking for Jesus.
Yes.
Where is the somebody that tells me about him?
Yeah, we were just talking about that last night. John and I were talking last night about that how many people are going to be so upset because someone stuck with somebody who continued to say no why they never knew,
mm-hmm.
because they would have said yes. There is a people that want to know God. You know, it's beautiful. You know, we actually see stadiums in our future, you know, filling up with all the VFN family and our different gatherings that we're doing. And we love the whole body coming together. But the truth is, you know, it needs to be believers. We don't need to continue to change our message and to be able to keep the same audience. People say, oh, you know, you preached about Jesus's repentance last year. And it's like, yes. It doesn't change, you know.
Right.
He's the same Jesus. You should be doing something with that message right now. You should be going out.
Don't let the no's keep you from the yeses.
Yes, exactly. You got to go through. And it's kind of sad because when you look at the seed and the sower, I know we're coming to an end of the extra hour here, is that Jesus, you know, he said, he's talking about he sowed seed, and only 25%, only 25% of the four different soils that were sowed the good seed, that only 25% of them made it.
Right.
Even though the first one didn't believe, the second one believed with great joy, but didn't get discipled, didn't get any roots down and fruit up, right?
Right.
So the storm took it. The third one is they had a genuine encounter with God and they walked with God, obviously. They made a decision, but the weeds and the cares of this life choked them out, right?
And, absolutely.
But there was one that was planted on good soil, 25%. That means you got it's just on that ratio alone, it's 75%. Listen, God loves you. God has a plan for your life.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.